Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a whopper of a Wednesday edition. I'm still assuring you, it's a great show rolling into the happier happy hour. Well, Dom might let you down, but...
never, always showing up. Come on, Crudy, good to see you, Evan, on the board, our fair audience. Happy happy hour. It's a hump day happy hour. Makes me even just a little bit happier.
Well, I've been joking. I had Al Franken, and he was a fine guest in the first hour. I had Charles Franklin. Want to thank our fine hour two guest, Charles Franklin, pollster extraordinaire, and, you know, joining us a little bit later in the hour, live via Ouija board, Ben Franklin in hour three. Yeah. So stick around for Ben Franklin. We'll talk about electricity and, you know, French horse and fun stuff.
Right. Coke-fueled orgies, perhaps.
You know, Al Franken told a story. Someone asked him as he was gearing up to run for Senate, apparently, and he told this story. I hope to do it justice. And someone said, Al, did you ever use cocaine? And Al's response was, yes, but only a little, because I had to stay up long enough to make sure that Belushi didn't do all the cocaine. And apparently, you know, this effort at humor was interpreted as a literal statement, and the reporter dutifully wrote it up as, you know, Al Franken says, yes, I did cocaine to keep Jim Belushi from doing all the cocaine.
Doing all of it, right.
And I think to myself, as he's saying that, and I'm giggling along, and I'm thinking, that's quality humorous stuff. But only for, you know, our fine audience and the sophisticated yeah. amongst us. But I'm worried about, you know, like the CJs of the world and perhaps even Big Light Becky Clayfish.
Oh, come on.
Because some people strike me that, you know, they just don't get the joke. Like, they're not a part of the joke. They want to be a part of the joke, but they just don't get the humor.
Well, it's you know, a lot of the humor is based on fact, right? So it's funny because it's true.
Well, usually there's a little kernel of truth, but I don't know if you saw the headlines. Dominic, Rebecca Clayfish, I'm going to start calling her Big Lie Becky. You know, big hair, big lie. She is apparently afraid. I think this is purely a fearful move on her and her campaign's part. But Tim Michaels, this, you know, very rich businessman, jumps in the race. A self-funder, already bought like $1 million worth of ads. And I think Clayfish is scared, and she's running scared, and she's running to the big lie. And I'm thinking to myself, do you get the fact? I mean, look at the new polling out today.
Yeah.
People aren't supportive of what Gableman's doing. I mean, what'd she say today? Well, you know, she said many things. Dom, do you know any of the things that she might have said?
Apparently, according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Becky is very, very super concerned about all sorts of very many important things, and some of these things she identifies.
Things often bother me.
In her quote here, and I'd like to tell you more about these things. So,
will you tell me about both thing one and thing two?
There might be even be three things. Here's a quote from Big Lie Becky. I also had a really long talk with Gableman over the weekend, and he is still uncovering things, and I think those subpoenas will be helpful in identifying new things, or perhaps even solidifying other things that we've already covered in greater volume.
Do you think?
Whatever the hell that means.
Do you think Gableman showed Big Lie Becky his things?
His things. Well, he's uncovering things and maybe identifying new things and solidifying other things. There's lots of things. And of course, this is a purposeful move. I don't believe that Big Lie Becky believes the big lie. She's, you know, making this as a strategic move. But the Franklin, I looked at some of the Franklin polling on elections. And the April elections, 84% were cool with the elections compared to 2020 when it was 64%.
Yeah, that's hell of a contrast, is it not?
It certainly is. And unfortunately, we don't know. I'd like to know. Well, what is it about this last election that all of a sudden makes those people, that 20% swing from 64% up to 84%, where do those people, why are they so much more confident this time? What changed, right? All the things the Republicans claim they wanted to do to further suppress the vote and make it harder for people to vote, to engage, were vetoed by Evers. So short of the one Dropbox issue, which was not around for the April election, but was earlier, short of that, that's the only thing that's had any sort of change. And that's cured up to 20% of the population, now fine with the elections. And then now you're going to go and say, well, we got to look back. And what, say if other people don't look back, they should be disqualified?
Well, disqualified by the voters, of course, because, you know, that rich guy that just got in the race, he scares Big Lie Becky quite a bit, Dom. But here was the takeaway. I asked Charles. I, you know, went through a lot of the polling, went inside the numbers, approval, disapproval, all the stuff.
Yeah.
I said, Charles, what's the takeaway? Give me a takeaway, something I didn't pay attention to. Because, you know, occasionally I lose track. I get the ADHD kicking in. And he said, here's the most interesting part.
I thought it was
part.
The weed. Yes, go ahead.
Well, you know, a little of this, a little of that, whatever gets me distracted. Like you at this moment. But well, let me get into the numbers.
You can't
for
let
just
Belushi
a moment.
Do all the cocaine.
Again, that's a joke, folks. These are the funnies. Here is what Charles Franklin said. Those that were most concerned about the outcome of the last election.
The presidential, the 2020, not
the spring election, because barely anyone cared about the spring. No one was concerned about the outcome in the spring. And Charles Franklin even said his, you know, before he exited stage left, stage right, though, you know, he always oversamples Republicans. But before he left, he said this striking stuff. Those that were least confident in the last election are most likely to say they're going to vote in the next election amongst Republicans. I believe Charles Franklin said 69% of those that said the last election was rigged, I have very little confidence, say they're going to vote in the midterms. And those amongst Republicans, I believe he was enumerating, those who were confident in the outcome of the last election only had a 41% likelihood, self-stated to the pollster, that they were going to vote in the midterms. So no wonder why Becky Clayfish and Ron Johnson are running to the fringer right, because that's the base of the party. And without the quote-unquote fringe, you can't win an election, not in the state of Wisconsin, not nationwide. They need that fringe, Dom. That's their base. That's their people. Those are the ones that are going to go vote in the midterms, despite the fact they had no confidence in the last election. And here's what Charles said. He said, you know, the difference, what's the difference? The difference is you didn't have Donald Trump saying over and over again, reinforced by the Republican leadership, that the last election was stolen. No one said that about the spring election. Trump didn't say, stolen municipal dog catcher election in Waukesha. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but even it's such BS, because even those folks, those Republicans who claim that the election was stolen, well, they won on their races. So what? Everybody else's election was stolen, but mine. I mean, it is so disingenuous. And of course, that does have an impact on the Republican vote. Trump is the leader of the GOP. And can we stop calling them fringe now then? I mean, if the fringe is the majority of the party, then they're just the fringe party. I mean, let's just stop saying it. They're the fringers. And to have Donald Trump, of course, lay down that seed corn for a year before he lost to justify his attempted coup, you have Becky Clayfish today wrapping up her quote to the Journal Sentinel regarding Gableman. If for no other reason than to assure that people feel that their vote is going to count and we are no longer jeopardizing our democratic republic by disenfranchising voters, I think Gableman's investigation, quote-unquote, must continue. Are you kidding me? I mean, it is exactly that investigation and those words that give people pause. And she did articulate specifically drop boxes, absentee ballots delivered to nursing homes, and the Zuckerbucks, those are the same thing. The same thing that the Republicans have been whining about the whole time. The same thing that had been litigated and discussed. It's over. Go home. That has nothing to do with these upcoming elections. And we wouldn't need billionaires' dollars for elections if the government would properly fund them. You have a proposal for that, Becky?
But you understand what this polling suggests. And I'd seen a prior article, and I actually made this sort of statement on the air. They don't believe the big lie either. Be it Ron Johnson, be it Rebecca Clayfish, certainly be it Robin Voss, they don't believe the big lie. They don't believe it. And neither does their base. And why am I convinced of that fact, Dom? Because they're 69% likely to vote in the next election if they claim they had zero confidence in the last election. Well, if all the elections are rigged, why would you go vote in the next one? Why would, you know, take your ball and go home? Right? Why are you so itching to go vote in the next one, right?
Yeah.
So all they're really doing is they're saying, I don't want to admit my team lost. If I just throw a tantrum in the mall, well, I get my ice cream. Or at least that's their hope. They still haven't gotten their ice cream, but they're throwing the tantrum. But they're the most likely to go vote in the midterms. And I think Becky Clayfish, I think she's scared. I think this Tim Michaels, you know, I don't know Michaels yet, but I think she's scared of this guy because she's making a hard right immediately after his entry into the race. A hard right. And Charles Franklin pointed out, you know, people's overall confidence in Gableman, quite low. Quite low. And the overall confidence, that might get you the nomination. That might help you win the primary. But in the general election, that's not the sentiment of Wisconsin voters. They're running away from the big lie. The independents don't believe it. Democrats certainly, especially those that listen to this fine program, they don't believe it. And the vast majority of Republicans, they don't believe it either. They're just sour grapes, man. They're just snowflakes. They're just sad because they lost.
Well, you know, and it's okay to be sad that you lost, or you can jump on your soapbox and cry about it, but to go and attack the Capitol, to engage in an insurrection, and whether or not Becky was on site or not is not relevant. She's encouraging that kind of behavior with these talk. I mean, if you tell everybody you must fight for your country or we'll be lost forever, some people are going to get concerned about that if they believe you. And Becky is essentially saying that.
Well, she just called the election rigged and took pictures with Derek Van Orden. He was a Capitol insurrectionist. She's just insurrectionist adjacent.
The Devil's Advocates, tackling the issues you're not allowed to talk about at the dinner table.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Happy, happy hour to us all. You can join us on the party line at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, I have a brief story about yours truly I'd like to share on the radio.
Just tell me more about
first time we've really talked today. Woke up this morning and thought I had gotten hit by a Mack truck. Like, I'm sore as hell. I didn't even know why. Like, my legs. Yeah. I'm like, what's up?
Wow, must have a hell of a workout yesterday, huh?
Well, I thought about it, and I've been getting modest exercise. And when I say modest, I've been doing like 50 push-ups a day in like two increments, 25 and 25. It's a big deal for me.
All right.
Takes a lot of effort. I sweat. I breathe hard. And I've been doing a little, you know, walking up the dogs, try to take them up some distance. So, you know, that's strenuous as I get for the most part. But anyways, my son's been participating in Special Olympics track. And I coached a lot of these very same athletes on the basketball team a couple of years ago. So when I go to practice, and yesterday I joined them, Coach Mike. So anyways, I joined and helped with the practice. And track and field, you know, you can only run so many laps, and then you got to create some fun activities. So we're doing red light, green light, different stuff, having fun. And I was like watching these kids. They were coming at me like banshees, you know? So like as I would green light them and they'd get like close and then I'd run away, you know, under red light, I'd be running away from these kids. And my son was running around. So then I decided I'm gonna challenge him. He doesn't know I'm racing him, but I know. So, you know, that gives me a little head start, sort of Jerry Seinfeld style. You know, you get that right. 10-yard head start on the 100 and you might just win. I threw my heart and soul into beating that kid across the finish line. And sure, was he disadvantaged in that he didn't even know it was a race? And did I get like a 10-yard head start? Absolutely. And did I wake up with my hamstrings on fire? Oh, my God, dude. I feel like a 92-year-old man, or at least I imagine how one must feel when one, you know, gets a little older. Yeah, like Joe Biden age, 92-ish.
Oh, come on, man. See, the more you do that, you know, the less it hurts. That's the beautiful thing about it.
Buddy, when's the last time you sprinted? Like, ran as fast as you could run?
It's
not like 5 feet trying to chase the mailman for the mail, but sprinted for like some approaching 100 yards. Or even
it's
50.
Been some time. I mean, I run regularly, but I don't run full blast.
Well, this guy does. At least once a decade.
You're lucky you didn't tear a hammy, man.
I am quite lucky I didn't blow some. I was running in like loafers, dude. Jeans and loafers. I gave it my all.
Yes, well done, Michael.
We always do here.
We don't know any other way.
The best I have to offer you is Big Lie Becky and Crudy's got sore hamstrings because I ran too hard. Too fast. Some would say too fast. 844. No one's ever accused me of being fast. 844-96. Well, maybe my wife a couple times. 844-967-2789. Try to keep it real.
It's a joke, folks. Or is it?
Dick from Madison, welcome to the comedy show, man. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dick.
Oh, well, I used to be fast about 50 years ago, but now they measure my 40-yard dash with an hourglass. Seriously. The Republican Party, you know, they stand for absolutely nothing, and I'm wondering, I'm going to run something by you guys. It used to be family values / character matters. Now you've got Matt Gaetz, DeSantis in Florida, Abbott in Texas, Cruz, Rand Paul, Ron Johnson here in Wisconsin. I'll give you, they're all characters, but they have no character, okay? Now, here's where I think the country is going and why it's going there. When Charles Franklin came with all his polling information. Over the long Easter weekend, I was out to visit my oldest daughter and son-in-law and two grandkids. So out in Kansas City, we went to have lunch at this place down in the old Union Station area. And my son-in-law pokes me and goes, "Dick, look at this." And we're looking at this big semicircular booth, a family sitting there of six people. And the guy looked, you know, that they were ranging in age from maybe 10 or 11 up to teenage, and then the parents. All six of them were on their cell phones, paying no attention whatsoever to each other. It's what I'm saying is no one really is paying any attention to anything relevant anymore.
Dick, appreciate that contribution. I like to be the ones to, you know, have the long stem winders about dinner I had at a recent occasion. But I lost you somewhere there because I was scrolling through Facebook. No,
hey,
I did.
If it's too loud, you're too old, Dick. Listen, I hear what you're saying, and I don't know that that's any political thing. I mean, I think people are easily distracted, regardless of your age and your political persuasion, by the gadgets and the bright lights and the flashy things. But that being said, I think your earlier point to the character matters and family values and these things, well, it never mattered. See, I mean, that's the big secret, because if it did, they would not have discarded it so quickly and so easily when they had a Cheeto Messiah in chief. And Donald Trump is the kind of guy, you know, a pocket full of cash brings out the worst in everybody. And he is a cancerous infection. And he, as many Republicans indicated when he became the leader of that party, that he's going to destroy that party, and that's exactly what he is doing. There's no character here. I mean, Becky Clayfish is what in Wisconsin you're comparing this to Deflategate. They won the game, but did they win legitimately? Well, yes. Every court case, every recount, yes, Becky, that is the answer. They did win legitimately.
New morning consult polling about Republicans. Are they anti-Semitic? Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
47% of Republicans think anti-Semitism's a major issue. Like, if their candidate was anti-Semitic, 47% would have a problem. if their candidate was homophobic, 25% of Republicans would have a problem with that.
So that's why Ron DeSantis is going to be. Than it is to be a Jewish candidate in the Republican Party.
And racist, just a little racist. 38% of Republicans would have a problem with a racist candidate.
Oh.
The rest are just fine. That's 62% of them. They're anti-Semitic, homophobic, racist. You know, and that's their best qualities.
And that's not fringe, baby. That is what it is.
Come back with us. That's your Republican base.
Buy.com.
The Devil's Advocates. So relevant, they have one foot in tomorrow.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Hump Day Happier Happy Hour. Dom's right there. You could join us on the phones, 844-967-2789. Dom, before we take a few more callers, do you see the polling on the Democratic senatorial, you know, the race to be the nominee to take on Ron Johnson? Apparently, it's a horse race now between Mandela and Alex Lassery.
Yeah, it's tightening up. Mandela Barnes for favorable rating at 19, unfavorable at 16. Alex Lassery coming up quick. Favorable at 16, unfavorable at 11.
Well, they perceive that, or at least I perceive that, to mean Mandela's like 3 points ahead. And that is definitely a closing between the two front runners. Now, Charles Franklin mentioned that Godlewski, and she spent like $1 million in the last month, that she is, at least from the last poll to this poll, that she's on the move, and Tom Nelson's been pretty steady in fourth. So right now, amongst the Democratic candidates running to be the opponent for Ron Johnson, the winner is undecided.
And what is it, a 4% margin of error?
It's like a 6% margin of error. By the time you take like 800 sampled, differentiate them between Democrats and Republicans, and then understanding that like half the Democratic field is undecided, or at least the voters are on who they're going to choose. Well, Don, that leaves what, 175 Democrats that actually expressed a preference across the state of Wisconsin. So that's still, relatively speaking, a small sample size. But at some point, you got to weigh the math, do the math. It's a snapshot in history.
Right.
And it's getting closer.
It's getting well, interesting. Leslie's dumping money into his campaign, and that apparently helps.
I keep asking you, when are we going to wade into this race with our devil bumps? You know,
wait and like give our opinion on who we think everybody else should vote for?
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Does the audience want to hear that? I'll be done asking you because you never give me the sufficient answer. I'll ask the audience. Do you want to know who Dom and Crute might support, endorse, if you will, but let's call it support in the primary races? Do you want to hear our input or should we just be out here, you know, keeping it honest? 844-967-2789. Mark from the SAC, I suspect you'll vote in the Dem primary. Do you care who I'm going to vote for or Dom might vote for? Will we be influential upon your vote? Potentially.
No, but because you guys are honest brokers, because you'll bring on all the candidates that are in the race. I
mean, well, top tier only, man. Top tier only. I'm not pulling 11 through every time.
Do you want to hear who we pick? If I said this candidate and Crudy said that candidate, would that influence you in any way, shape, or form? Or are you just going to make your own decisions regardless of what Crudy or I might think?
I'm going to make my own decision, but you guys are honest because you give your – when you bring the candidates on – you actually ask them pertinent questions. You don't give them lob them softballs most of the time like the right wing seems to do. And that, but I really like, I shouldn't even say softballs, it's kitten balls. You know, that,
improve your lies, sir. What are rules?
That it is just, but there you go again with Donald Trump. I mean, he just, you know, I got a hole in one. Well, that's because he, you know, kicked the ball in from, or had in his pocket, dropped in the hole when he got walked up to the hole.
Right.
But I mean, it is just, you know, incredible that, you know, Rebecca Clefish does not have the intellectual honesty or the honesty itself to say, yes, Joe Biden won the election fair and square. I mean, the cowardice that she is displaying there should disqualify her from being governor.
But Mark, she can kind of sort of have it both ways. Because most people, unlike yourselves and ourselves, they're not paying attention. They're sitting at the dinner table at the restaurant in Kansas City, Dick's Neighbors, and they're all staring at their cell phones, their TikTok and their whatevering, but they're not really paying attention. So I think what Rebecca is hopeful for is she can have it both ways. She can tack to the right, call it a rigged election during the primary, because if she doesn't, Mark, she can't win the primary. I mean, we've already established this is the Republican base.
But the whole point of it is that her opinion on some of this stuff should not be changed, because then it goes to character again.
Well, it's just sketch back for the general election. You win the primary. If you can't win the primary, you can't lead the state. Mark, she'll do what she has to do, and then she'll, you know, do the exact opposite.
I don't know that you can, like, go back on this. You can't get unpregnant. You can't undo the claim that this is a rigged election. Once you say that, and she hasn't set it up until now, she kind of, at first, to my understanding, my impression, my reading of Rebecca Clayfish over the last year or so, didn't really go there. And now she's going there, to Mark, to your point. She's evolved to that position. And I don't think that once you dip your toe in that water that you can come out of it. You are now stained with the big lie stench, with the funk, with the Trump cancer. You got the Trump herp now, Becky.
Do you think she's wearing bronzer these days?
Give big her time. Becky? But again, I think this is among the primary voters, according to Marquette University Law School polling, among Republican primary voters, again, without the new guy joining the race, what's his name,
Tim Michaels.
Yeah. Clayfish was 45-13. Nicholson was 21-4. I mean, she's more than doubled the second place.
And she was
guy.
Holding steady, but she's not worried about Nicholson.
No, I understand.
And she's certainly
that.
Not worried about Ram Jam. I mean, he was the fringe. He was the, you know, let's replay the Electoral College, right?
He's at seven.
But the thought was Ram Jam didn't motivate this. It was the businessman Michael she's running scared of. Because up until now, she had a comfortable first place lead. And up until now, my boy Mandela Barnes, who we both like, he's a friend of ours, has been for a decade. But Mandela, well, he was sort of unchallenged. But with the $4+ million that Alex Lazary has dumped into the race, well, you know, suddenly it's a horse race over on the Democratic side.
And I look forward to debates on the Dem side. But let's stay focused for a moment on the Republican side.
Well, I was trying to inspire some callers because I want to know from the callers, not you so much, 844-967-2789. But do they want to know who they should vote for, because I'll tell them.
Yeah. We may or may not agree on that, Curdy. Michael, but here's why I question whether or not this strategy for Clayfish is worth it. Journal Sentinel reporting on the same article today we've been referencing. Michael said on an inferior radio product, a lot of people have questions about the last election. So do I. If we don't have fair, transparent elections, our whole system is going to come apart. Well, I mean, he's not saying it's rigged, but he's certainly, you know, leaning in that direction. So you have all of the Republican candidates are essentially there. So why would she is what, trying to get ahead of Michaels on this? I don't know. I think it's short-sighted. I think there's a lot of people that are going to be turned off by it when it really comes down to it. I don't think she can go that far right to win the Republican primary and think that she's going to have any support on the independents when she tries to tack back.
Unless they're not paying attention. Right? Unless they're looking at their cell phones for the summer. Oh, who are the candidates? Tony and Big Lie Becky?
Yeah, and then here come the ads, and here's what Rebecca said, and here's Big Lie Becky.
Oh, by the fall?
Here's Kookie Clayfish.
By the fall, if she wins the primary, Dom, she'll be talking about kitchen table issues. She'll be talking about that Joe Biden
she
inflation.
She can talk about what she wants to talk about, but the opposition is certainly going to bring this up. We will be discussing it by fall. I will not forget. I have a pretty bad memory sometimes, but
I'll
I will make
you.
A point to remember. And if I don't, Crudy will help me out.
You know, but amongst the issues that voters give a damn about, according to the Marquette Law School polling, Charles Franklin, inflation's number one. I mean, Becky could have tacked to kitchen table issues right now. I'm a suburban housewife. I feel your pain. Joe Biden's made it tough on all of us. And I know that she's done a little bit of that. But when you're coming out and you're doing interviews saying, well, the last election feels rigged, and I got lots of things that I'm hoping Gableman's going to tell me, inflation might be a winner. I know, I see you, CJ. I know you're dying to crap on Joe Biden for inflation rates. Public education, I know that Clayfish has waded into, what, a lot of local school board races? And critical race theory is one of the, you know, planks of her against something platform. Crime, not a big deal. Do you feel safe where you are? Not a big deal. That's my impression. I know lots of people want to force feed me. Crime's a big issue. Only on Righty Whitey Talk Radio.
Well, here's the numbers. I mean, inflation, according to the polling, 69% very concerned. Public education, 50. Illegal immigration, 38% very concerned. Crime in your community, 27%. Coronavirus, 22%. You know what is not in the top five? Stolen Trump elections. I mean, that's what I'm saying. That's not a thing.
I'm not clear if that specifically was polled next to those other questions. But if you ask the people of the state of Wisconsin, do you support the Gableman? No, we don't. You know, are you confident in the last election?
Gableman has a 13% favorability rate, 27% negative.
He's like right there with Robin Voss, right?
Well, he's actually beating Voss. Voss has like 12%.
But again, like 50% of Wisconsinites don't even know who Michael Gableman is.
They got to tune in, man. I mean, come on, people.
844-967-2789. I think CJ's got higher approval ratings than Gableman. Welcome, CJ. What do you got for us?
Hey, CJ.
Howdy, guys. You know, you got to admit that you're going on Fox News number one.
Maybe I'm going back on Fox. I haven't decided, man. I'm supposed to party with Dom and our college roommates on Saturday night. I mean, I don't know if I could go on Fox News with my eyes like closed shut from swelling from drinking too much.
We'll get you to the studio by noon, Curdy. Don't worry about it.
I'll be watching. You know, Ron Johnson's going to be reelected because he's been right on so many issues, including inflation.
But do you see the polling on Ron? He's way underwater. Just currently, unlike Tony Evers, and I'm just throwing empirical evidence at you, CJ. I mean, I've seen Ron win election twice, and it's been a little shocking. So I can understand why you might have that misinformed sentiment. But when you look at the actual polling in the state of Wisconsin, Ron's highly unpopular. And you could say, well, top of the ticket are highly unpopular. Not so with Evers. Evers has come up,
Democrat,
and Ron's way under.
Money, Rudy.
What's that?
More Democrat money is being dumped into this outside of the state. Is being
Ron Johnson raised $7 billion in the last quarter. Am I supposed to cry for Argentina? Because the billionaire son-in-law? I mean, the guy married well, man. He threw $9 million in his own campaign in 2010, I believe.
That was his money.
Well, that was actually his corporation money, which would be an illegal campaign contribution. Technically, CJ, he probably broke campaign finance laws, but I know a law and order guy like you, you'd want to hold him accountable, right?
Yep. What about Black Lives Matter leaders? Are you going to hold them accountable?
Why? Are they elected to some public office like U.S. Senate?
And millions of dollars. And you?
I didn't give them any of those millions, man. Did you give millions to Ron Johnson?
I've donated my fair share, let me tell you.
How about, you know, I mean, if we're going to talk about giving money away, CJ, I mean, what about the, you know, Trump University? I mean, Trump had to pay a $26
million. To pay that tuition?
Right. I mean, that's problematic, right?
Well, probably got a few Trump steaks, some Trump vodka.
You Democrats are going to bury this country. Yeah, we're going to pay for everybody's schooling. Brilliant. You know what? More inflation.
That is brilliant, CJ. Why wouldn't we want to pay for people to be smarter and better educated?
Do you think we should pay for students to go to school up through 12th grade, up till they're 18 years old? Do you think that's a wise decision?
Well, I think people should have a choice in where they go. But do you know how much?
No, but you didn't answer the question. CJ, the question is, do you think we should use taxpayer dollars to fund students up to the age of 18 to go through K-12 high school? You think that's a good idea? Good use of the taxpayer dollars? Is that a good use of the taxpayer dollars?
$88,000, every man, woman, and child. Oh, the government right now.
Is that a good use of the? I mean, of course he's not answering the question because what are you going to do, CJ? Say no, We want a dumbed down population, CJ? Is that what you want? Come on, man. You know it's a good idea. And if it's okay up through the 12th grade, then what is your stopping point? Why all of a sudden has it become problematic for continued education, CJ? Or trade training?
If he stopped at 8th grade, it's good enough for CJ. It should be good enough for the students of the great state of Wisconsin. IT, CJ, I heard you nearly graduated high school. Come back with us. More Devil's Advocates. These are the jokes, people. You know, I'm trying to do it Al Franken style.
Is that it? You got a better delivery, I got to tell you.
I'm good enough, and gosh darn it, people like me. 844-967-2789.
I don't know about that.
The Devil's Advocates. Political commentary from the back of the class.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the last segment of this hump day happy hour. You can join us at 844-967-2789.
You know, I was so insistent that I got to speak first. I forgot what I was going to say. Let's go to the phones. 844-967-2789.
But must have been very important.
First crack at not saying anything. Kind of like CJ. Anyways, I know it was important, but I'll get back to it. Darren from Madison, you're always important when you call the Devil's Advocates. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Darren.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I just want to follow up on CJ's comments. And I'm sure I apologize to his wife because she's in a world of hurt right now. I'm sure he's a real gaslighter, that guy. But anyways, going back to him not answering the question about public education, I mean, I personally think that, yes, you know, education, public education, everything should be paid for, yes, like it is. But you have to improve public education. You got to have the right people teaching our society. And if you look at it, I mean, you look at it bigger picture, right? I'm a recruiter. I talk to people all the time, all day. And it's crazy how close we are to becoming, you know, we're on the path of becoming a third world country. A lot of it stems from education.
How so, Darren?
We are not very smart.
You mean the applicants that you're trying to recruit are, let's just say, not qualified for the jobs they seek?
No. I'm just saying, I talk about things with my candidates, you know, just different things like, you know, banter talk. Not, you know, this is when I have good relationships with people, and it's
sure.
It's more or less basically, you know, we're down a path where, you know, you look at some of these other countries, you know, throughout the world. I mean, the education system in the United States, it's definitely public education is falling apart, but you need to pay these people more money. You need to find the right people and you need to pay them more money. Just like that. I mean, education and then, you know, people that are police officers, medics, you know, they're public safety. It's like those two positions, you got to pay them more money and you got to find the right people because.
But Darren, I totally agree with what you say, but you realize that's exactly what Scott Walker utilized Act 10 to go after, the teachers, the fire department. I mean, I know he exempted a couple of the unions initially from the worst of Act 10, but effectively he was sticking it to the public sector unions and he was making them the villains. Hey, you don't have that Cadillac insurance. You don't get your summers off like those horrid teachers.
Yeah, I didn't vote for him.
Darren, did.
Darren, let me ask you, from the quality of the candidates, do you have a sense that perhaps, and this is my impression, but I want you to clarify if you would, that the degrees, a bachelor degree, a master's degree, whatever the degrees may be, certificates, whatever, are watered down or not as valuable perhaps as they once were?
I would say yes, and the reason being is just because there's a shortage, and it's not because there's not enough people working. So many people are like, a lot of these Republicans, especially, you know, I feel like Republican men above 50 usually is the age, is what I've the demographic, the conversations I've had at bars in different places.
Guys like CJ, let's say.
Yeah, like CJ, exactly. So, you know, these people that, it's the people that I'm talking to, To a sense, the degrees, but no, there's just not enough people working, right? So many baby boomers, people that are, you know, have worked corporate America, you know, and are, so I specifically, you know, work with IT people, right? So
there's just a lot of baby boomers that are retiring. People know their worth. You know, the counter offer is real when somebody accepts a position and they put their 2 weeks in at a job and then they're not, you know, it's, and then they come, they tell their employer, hey, I'm done. And then they're like, hey, we want to pay you an extra $20,000 or $25,000. People will take it. It just, people know their worth a lot more now. So I feel like the degree is of less value. So,
Darren, sorry to cut you short. We got a few more waiting, and I don't want you putting thoughts in my staff's head. Don't be recruiting away the good people here, Darren. A few more to get to. Want to get to all of you at 844-967-2789. Thank you, Darren. Welcome, Jack from Merrimack. What do you got?
Hey, Jack.
Yeah, well, how are we going to pay for all these expensive teachers and college education? It isn't really hard to figure out.
Well, we're going to have to tax some rich people, Jack.
Yeah, that's right. Bernie Sanders basically had figured it out, though, pretty well. He essentially said you could finance public college for everybody that qualifies and wanted to go. I think the figure he came up with was about a quarter of what the Pentagon got as an unrequested increase in their finances for that same year that he proposed that idea.
But Jack, you know, every guy that ever paid off his student loan debt or never got the chance to go to college like those elitist Democratic neighbors of his, they resent even the whiff of the fact that someone didn't have to pay back a loan that maybe they paid back. I mean, Jack, you know, they resent people if other people get something they don't get.
Well, there is some truth to that. Now, I'm a retired educator, just so you know where I'm coming from for this. So here's my idea. You figure out, and you can adjust it for inflation, figure out the cost increase since Reagan's term, because that was essentially when the support for public colleges and universities stopped or actually got cut back and cut back and cut back and so on. My son will have ended up paying about $50,000 for a degree, and that's just for tuition at the University of Wisconsin System School.
Yeah.
And there's no way that public education at that level even should cost anywhere near that much. And so you figure out the inflation-adjusted difference, and you forgive that amount of student loan.
Jack, it sounds like you're doing math on the radio, man. You're starting to lose me. I got to keep moving down the phones.
Jack. Thank you, man.
Good ideas, though. 844-967-2789. Matt from Mount Horeb, welcome, sir. What do you got for us?
Hey, Matt.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. No offense, you know, I respect both of your opinions quite a bit, but it doesn't really matter what you say on this race. Mandela Barnes, like, he, you know, Milwaukee has the biggest population in the state. Milwaukee has the biggest black population in the state. And Mandela Barnes already swept one Scott Hall out of the state. I think he's the man to sweep Ronnie Jagov where he belongs.
Well said, Matt. Let's sneak in. Wisco Paul, how you doing, Paul? Like 30 seconds.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, the GOP don't like themselves or anybody, but I got to say, Ronnie Jagov, that's cool, man. I'm not saying any more than that. That is just totally cool.
I like that one perhaps more than Big Lie Becky. Thank you to all the fine guests. Appreciate it, Wisco Paul. Thank you to Al Franken. And the tickets are sold out at the Barrymore, so if you didn't get yours, you're SOL. And thank you also to Charles Franklin, to Dominic, to Evan, all of you for listening. Now, please stick around Native Roots Radio, then the Up North Podcast with Kirk Bankstead, Pat Kreitlow, and Sarah Yakum. Have a great night, everyone. Do it again tomorrow.